Chapter 12. Coney Island. I told Elaine about the baseball game a few days later as we were waiting for a classical music concert to start in Bryant Park. This park is located behind the main New York City Public Library on 42nd Street and 5th Avenue. On weekdays during the summer, the city organizes small concerts at lunchtime for the people who work in the area. People from all kinds of professions buy a sandwich or salad and sit in front of a small stage to eat their lunch and listen to classical music. Elaine and I often met there to have lunch together since it was such a nice event. "It sounds like you had a great time," said Elaine. "You even had a typical baseball lunch, a hot dog and a Coke. Did you know that the hot dog was invented here?" "Here in Bryant Park?" I asked. "No, silly," Elaine responded, laughing. "I mean in New York City, although the exact place is far away from here." "Where is it?" I asked. "It's on Coney Island, on the far side of Brooklyn," she replied. "It was a popular vacation place for rich people during the second half of the 19th century. It's also got the oldest amusement park in the U.S. She paused for a minute and looked at me. "How do you say that in Spanish?"
"Parque de atracciones," I said.
"Parque de atracciones," she repeated slowly. "I've got a proposition for you. I'll take you there after the concert if you teach me more things in Spanish. I want to visit you in Spain and need to know more Spanish than the little bit that I learned in high school." "I accept your proposition," I said as the concert began. Once the concert ended, we took the subway to Coney Island. The trip lasted more than 40 minutes. "Are we still inside the city?" I asked Elaine as we got off the subway train on an elevated platform. In this part of Brooklyn, the subway ran above the ground. "Yes, we are," she answered. "Why?" "I didn't realize that the city was so big," I responded. "It's easy to forget that the city is more than just Manhattan. Remember, there are four other boroughs in the city. Look over there," Elaine said, pointing behind us. The Empire State Building could be seen far away on the horizon. It looked so small. One of the reasons that the elite started to go on vacation to Coney Island was because it was so far away from Manhattan, Elaine explained. In those days, there was almost nothing here except beaches and luxury hotels. It was hard to imagine that as we walked toward the amusement park area next to the beach. The area now looked like a city neighborhood with lots of large apartment buildings. "In the late 1870s, some of the most elegant hotels in the country were here," Elaine continued. "There was one hotel called the Sea Beach Palace that had a capacity of 10,000 guests and could serve 15,000 people in their restaurant. The very rich stopped coming to Coney Island as it became easier for people with less money to come. In 1920, the subway finally reached here, converting Coney Island into what it is today, a recreational place for people of all classes. We stopped in front of a large corner restaurant with enormous signs above it announcing, 'This is the original Nathan's Famous Hot Dogs.' 'Is this where the hot dog was invented?' I asked. 'No,' responded Elaine. 'Almost all the buildings in Coney Island from the early 1900s don't exist anymore. This is one of the few that does remain. A man named Nathan Handworker started this restaurant.' 'Did he invent the hot dog?' I asked. 'No, he didn't,' Elaine said, smiling. 'Let me explain. The hot dog was invented by a man named Charles Feltman in 1867. He sold food to some of the bars here. Eventually, the bar owners asked him for hot sandwiches. Feltman got the idea of putting a German sausage into a piece of bread. That's how the hot dog was born. It was so popular that Feltman became a rich man and eventually owned a lot of land and several hotels and restaurants here. Nathan Handworker worked for Feltman and saved enough money to start his own hot dog restaurant. He tried to become successful by selling his hot dogs for 5 cents each. That was half the price of Feltman's hot dogs. At first, people didn't buy Nathan's hot dogs because they thought that things that were less expensive were of inferior quality. So what did he do to convince people to buy his hot dogs?" I asked. "He convinced 10 vagabonds to have a bath and then dress as doctors in white coats for free food," Elaine explained. "Then he put up a sign that said, 'If doctors eat our hot dogs, you know they're good.' After that, everyone began buying his hot dogs.
Eventually, he was selling an average of 75,000 hot dogs every summer weekend. Nathan's hot dogs became so popular that they began to sell them at baseball games. "Well, thank you for teaching me the history of the hot dog," I said.
"You're welcome," she responded.
"Now, you have to teach me something. How do you say roller coaster in Spanish?"
"Montaña rusa," I said.
"Why do you want to know that?"
"Because I'm going to take you to one of the first and most famous roller coasters in the world," she said as she started in the direction of the amusement park.
"It's called the Cyclone, and it was built in 1927. It's still considered one of the 10 best in the world." A few minutes later, we were standing in a line for the roller coaster. It was the first time that I'd seen a wooden one. The whole structure vibrated when the roller coaster cars passed in front of us. The noise was very loud.
"Are you sure that it's safe?" I asked Elaine nervously.
"Of course," she replied. "It's probably safer than when it began operating, because the safety regulations are much stricter now. It's a lot of fun." She was right. It was a lot of fun. But it was also scary because it was so loud and everything vibrated so much. When we got off the roller coaster, my hands hurt from a combination of holding tightly onto the safety bar and the vibrations from the ride. We spent the rest of the afternoon and evening exploring the amusement park. Eventually it became dark, and everything was illuminated by the lights from the rides and the different stores. Elaine and I acted like two children, laughing constantly and running from ride to ride. After going on every ride that we could, we sat on a bench to rest for a minute.
"I'm really hungry," she said.
I looked at my watch and was surprised to see that it was already 9:30 p.m.
"Can we get something to eat at Nathan's?" I asked. "I'd like to taste a piece of Coney Island history."
"That's a great idea," she said. We bought some hot dogs, French fries and sodas to take away and walked to the beach. We sat on the sand and ate silently under the starry sky, listening to the sounds of the ocean and looking at the moon's reflection on the water.
"Are you okay?" Elaine asked me after we'd finished eating. "You look sad."
"I'm sorry," I replied. "I'm just thinking that I'll be returning to Spain in a couple of days. I'm going to miss this city and the friends that I've got here. And I'll miss you most of all."
"I'll miss you too," she said.
"That's why I've asked you to teach me some Spanish. I was serious when I said that I want to visit you in Spain. Will you be my special guide there?"
"Of course I will," I said, smiling. "I'll look forward to it."
"Good. There's one last important thing that you must do before leaving," she said as she stood up and collected the leftovers of our dinner.
"What's that?" I asked.
"You'll have to come to the goodbye dinner that we're planning in your honour," she replied with a smile.